Given that scientists think that the global climate may have reached tipping point, what is your party going to do to ensure the transformational change to reduce our carbon emissions, which is needed? And I'm going to start with Ben.
Okay, I was hoping not for that.
That's why I'm starting with Ben.
So, as a country, I think, well, look, you mentioned that there's a tipping point. I completely agree with you. That's what the scientists say, and it's obvious that we need to be investing tens of billions of pounds in this. It is an extremely important priority. There needs to be urgent action on this. I think we need to really grow up in relation to fossil fuels. They need to be staying in the ground, to be honest. We need to be dealing with introducing renewable energy as being our number one source of fuel. Obviously, I can't implement any of this, but there are a number of policies which we can implement to go towards this. I think we need electric cars, all electric cars by 2020. That's about it for me.
Okay.
Young people, I don't know this. You, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for your question. Only the Green Party is committed to tackling this issue head on and with the radical policies that need to be done. We've been up front. We need a Marshall Plan for the 21st century. We need to tackle climate change as if we've come out of the Second World War. We need to invest £100 billion a year for 10 years to change the economy to a green economy. We need to wean ourselves off pretty quickly our addiction to fossil fuels. We need to invest in renewable power sources, wind, solar, tidal. We have some of the highest tide ranges around the British Isles. It's an extremely large amount of potential energy that's out there that's not impacted by the vagaries of sunshine in the Northern Hemisphere or lack of wind, obviously. So we need to put a carbon tax on fossil fuel imports and stop domestic extraction. We need to ban fracking. We've all heard about Mr. Johnson's moratorium on fracking. It's already creaking under pressure from the industry. We also have ambiguity and a lack of a decent record from Jo Swinson. She's taken money from fracking companies. No. Now we're assured that has no influence.
Chair, this was decided in. Sorry, Chair. This was decided in court only a couple of days
ago. Okay, all right.
They was ruled out of order on an SNP leaflet.
Right, we've both heard what you said, sir. Well,
The fact remains.
Steve. Please.
Thank you, Chair. We've led the way. We're only talking about this crisis in the terms that we're talking about it and the other parties because of the impact that we're making, both locally and nationally. We have to act now. We've been up front. 100 billion is a lot of money. We're going to borrow the majority of it. As my co-leader, Jonathan Bartley, said, if climate was a bank, we would have bailed it out years ago. We need to act decisively. And we need to build an economy under the Green New Deal. Our MP, Caroline Lucas, was the first person to be talking about the Green New Deal, and that is now mainstream policy from a number of parties. So the Green Party is the only one committed to this. Everybody else is wavering. 2045 does not cut it. We need transformational change within the next 10 years, or we're going to see even more tipping points. This is the point. Yesterday, we're reaching 4 tipping points already. Runaway climate change will cause untold damage, not just to the developing world, but to the developed world as well. Miami will be underwater within 20, 30 years. We need to act now. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm going to go to Laura.
Thank you. Thank you for the question about the tipping point. And one of the articles that I saw, I don't know if anyone saw the article in The Guardian today, where the European Parliament recommended as an imperative that the member states all try to achieve net zero in carbon emissions by 2050. Something that we legislated for some time ago. And I think some of the challenges on this panel may say, well, 2050 is not soon enough. And I anticipate, yeah, I'm seeing some nods. And I have read into this myself because I have the same concern, actually. But that target isn't arbitrary. It's the target that was set in the Paris Accord that came out of the climate conference, you'll recall, that America has withdrawn from in 2015. It was what the scientists were saying at the time was the objective. And the United Kingdom is the only one of the G7 economies that has legislated to achieve that. So how are we going to get there? We're phasing out coal by 2025. Petrol and diesel vehicles by 2035. We have spent since 2010 $92 billion on renewable energy and created 400,000 jobs. By 2030, we want to have another 2 million jobs. But what we're trying to do is reach what we still say is an ambitious target in a way that's achievable, that takes people with us. The way that they use renewable energy, adapt their homes, adapt their cars, adapt their flight patterns, and adapt their personal conduct. And if I could just pick up on one thing Steve said, which was a really interesting point about social justice and the international element. Do you know how much the United Kingdom contributes to global emissions overall? 10%. I think I've read it was less than...
Yeah, you miss off the importer. Our consumption from products made in China is not in your figures. It's a complete misnomer to say that we're succeeding. Your own climate committee says that the drops in emissions are not down to any great climate policies. It's down to the drawdown in industry due to the deindustrialisation.
If I could just cut back to my point, the United Kingdom contributes 1.5% to global emissions. And can I just say this, that's where our aid budget is so important. Because quite a lot of the amount, the 0.7% of GDP we spend on aid, is spent helping countries in Africa, for example, where economic development is the priority, but renewables are not. So unless we're looking at other economies, using our expertise and our skills to help them, then in fact we're not really doing anything to drive down, we're not doing as much as we could to drive down global carbon emissions. And it's that international element which I think is just as important as our domestic commitments.
So Steve claims that the only party that's green is the Green Party. But he's wrong. The Lib Dems in 2007 called for a zero carbon economy. We have been in government and delivered green investment. It was the Lib Dems as part of the coalition government that pushed for and demanded and got the Green Investment Bank that saw £12 billion worth of investment into green technologies into this country. That once we had a Conservative majority government, it got privatised, and now its investment is not focused just purely on the UK. So we have got a record of action. We've got a record of being able to change behaviour. The 5p charge on the plastic bag, I remember when it came out, I can remember people laughing about it. And now, how many of us carry reusable bags when we go shopping? So you can change behaviour. You can take action now by changing behaviour.
They said that they're worse for the environment today.
You can change... Well, that was today, Steve. Okay, but you don't have to use a bag at all. You can carry. But it's right that we have a stick and a carrot approach. So we will introduce a frequent flyer levy. If you take more than 3 flights a year under the Greens, it will be 1 flight a year. So, God forbid, if you have children in 2 parts of the world, you're going to start being penalised just for doing that. This isn't about frivolous travel around the world. This is about maybe going on holiday with your children in the summer to expand their horizons, maybe going to visit somebody. And so under a Lib Dem administration, we think that a fair cap on that is 3 flights, and then after that, you should start paying excessive fares. Under the Conservatives, we see claims about cutting our emissions. But actually, the Clean Air Directive from the European Union in 2001 saw the change of coal-powered stations. the emission trading scheme in 2005 has seen a carbon budget put over the whole of Europe. And that's what's changed our behaviours and helped drive it down. So that co-regulation is so important to us, because air pollution and carbon doesn't stop at borders, and we have to work together to make sure that we're decarbonising our economy. And we also need to make sure that we radically overhaul our transport system. We need to introduce more greener technology. So under the Lib Dems, we would make sure that we introduce electric cars and stop diesel and petrol after 2030. We would insulate all low-income homes by 2025. That not only helps address energy use, but it lifts people out of fuel poverty. That's a progressive Liberal Democrat policy. So I'm proud to be a Lib Dem, and I'm proud of our green policies and our green record. As a town councillor, 10 years ago, we put solar panels on our roofs. We brought an electric van in Thatcham. You know, Steve, Lib Dems have taken action. And for claiming the green revolution in West Berkshire is all yours, remember it was a unanimous vote in the council chamber. Liberal Democrat councillors, Conservative councillors voted for
that's
that
all good.
Action.
We all agree then. That's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So let's be clear, guys, as the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change says, 2045 and 2050 to be carbon neutral is inadequate. And that's why Labour's proposal is ambitious but also deliverable in terms of being carbon neutral by 2030. A few more national policies to put in place. For example, we will build 10 new national parks, plant 2 billion new trees by 2030. We will also ban fracking and replace that with renewable energy. But also, I think one of the most interesting things about Labour's proposals are the public ownership of the railway and certain bus networks as well. And I think, let me give you two local examples in which we can apply this. Obviously, locally, we need to take the forefront of this as well as national policies. So, number one, for example, if we took public ownership back of the railway, we could propose to, which has got back in, our policies got back in from former Transport Secretary Lord Adonis, that we could reopen the line from Southampton to Oxford via Newbury, which would decongest the A34. Okay, local policies like that, but also the bus networks. So Labour proposed to reopen 3,000 of the bus lines that were closed down, especially in rural areas, by the Conservatives. We would reopen that, which would have a massive impact in the Newbury, in this rural area here.
Environmentally.
All the buses run on.
We'd get electric buses, okay. and get more people, well, anyway, Mr. Chairman, get more people on public services. Get more people on public services rather than driving in their cars would be a massive help for the environment as well. But we are, another really interesting point would be that we want to create a green skill-based economy where we do put 1 million new jobs into the green economy, where we also put in 800, this is a really interesting bit for me personally, 800,000 climate apprentices by 2030 into industries across the country where they can help out with the climate effort and work in industries and train and improve current practices so it does fit the standards. And also, which party do you trust to go on and tackle the big businesses and the corporations that are contributing massively to this climate change? I'm sorry, but it is the Labour Party, absolutely. And therefore, if you want ambitious yet deliverable plan in government, there is only one party to vote for in this election. Thank you.
Thank you, people. Where's Libby? Over here. Do you feel secure? Are you reassured? Okay, well, we'll see if we can do better with the next question. Thank you. So the next question is from Genevieve Kendrick.